The real deal, living a life authentic. That's really what all of Colossians is about. But today I want to ask you a question. When you open your mouth, what is it that comes out? When you open your mouth, what comes out? You know, the Bible indicates that it's kind of a mirror. The law of God is to reflect who God is and His standards and where we are. But you know, there's another mirror that really accurately reflects who we are. By the way, I don't know how many of you have ever seen this lake. It's called Mirror Lake. It's up at Yosemite. Has anybody seen this lake? It's an incredible place. It's located in Tenaya Canyon, directly between North Dome and Half Dome. And the amazing thing about it is you look into the water and you see the mountains. You look into the water and you'll see the trees. That is an absolute reflection. You know what Proverbs 27:19 says? As water reflects a man's face, so the heart reflects the man. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn back to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, amazing. What is the mirror that accurately reflects your heart? Well, here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. He said, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. I've always said that Jesus would not make a good seeker church pastor. He would often chase people away by talking so directly to them. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Would you read that with me, church? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Why would that be? For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Why would that be? Because you see, what comes out of your mouth is an accurate reflection of what really is in your heart. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. The mirror that accurately reflects, or we can say it this way, what's in the well always comes up in the bucket. See, what comes out of our mouth reflects who is in control of our hearts. And the world around us is watching our speech closely, evaluating the claims of Christ. Does it reflect a difference in your life that only a supernatural God can make? You see, when we become the real deal and really invite Christ and allow Him to take over our lives and know that He lives in us and the old man dies and Christ arises in our hearts, my friend, the fruit of our lips changes. One of the most challenging areas for believers to control. Years ago, there was a man called Bios, and he was supposed to take this animal and go make a sacrifice of it. And the owner of the animal said, as you go to make a sacrifice, I want you to bring me the best of the animal and the worst of the animal back. Burn everything else up. Guess what he brought back? The tongue. The best and the worst. Well, in what ways does the living Christ inside of every believer work to change our communication? Because He does. Three ways that I want you to see from this passage. Number one is, as a Christian, we learn a new form of communication. We learn to pray with power. We learn to pray with power. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. You see, there's a part of this learning, like any class, like any student, where you have to give yourself to it. You have to participate before you'll tap into the power of prayer. You know, it's the nature of Almighty God to answer prayer, even when we feel undeserving. Has that ever happened to you? You know, like any caring father, Abba, our heavenly daddy, God desires a close relationship with each and every one of you. See, Christianity is not primarily a religion, it's a relationship. And when we come to Christ, He places the Spirit of His very own Son in our hearts. Why is that? So that we will draw close to Him. So that we will talk with Him. Bring Him into our life. Bring Him into our world. I will be their God and they will be my people. In fact, Jesus said, look, He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, your little girl asks you for a piece of bread, you're not going to give her a stone. If your son asked for a fish, and I doubt that he would, but anyway, you wouldn't give him a snake. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Wow. Now, maybe your praying has been lacking effectiveness. And Paul is going to give us four keys that we all need to work on. Because one of the major areas of change when Christ has full control in your life or mine is that you're going to learn a new form of communication. Your language, what comes out of your mouth when you open it, is going to change. You're going to learn to pray. You're going to learn to pray. Well, notice we develop persistence in communicating with God. And this is in a command form. Devote yourselves to prayer. It means to be steadfast in prayer. It means to endure in prayer. To be courageously persistent. To be able to hold on, not let go. To hold fast. And so one of the things that we need to learn is how to talk to God constantly. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Can you imagine? Your life is over. You get to heaven. And you begin to see all the things that your prayers and how they were accomplished. And your mouth is just hanging open. Do you think that we just might regret having not prayed more? You see, true prayer often involves struggling and grappling with God, proving to Him the deep concerns of our hearts. The author of this letter didn't just talk about prayer. Turn back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God. In fact, you know their pastor, the first missionary they knew that carried the gospel from Ephesus to Colossae. His name is in chapter 4, verse 12. Now I want you to look at him. His name is Epaphras. Paul says, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, he sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in the will of God. Oh, these guys were devoted to prayer. And so it's just natural that their disciples would be devoted to prayer. Also, prayer is such a powerful weapon. Jesus prayed and He prayed and He prayed. And the disciples that hung out with Him for 3 years, they immediately noticed there's something that He has going on in this thing. This communication, we got to learn it. And so one day they said, Lord, would you teach us how to do what you do? How do you pray? And He began to teach them how to connect with the Father in a personal way. In fact, later on, Jesus taught them the key, one of the keys to prayer. In Luke chapter 18, then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And He told them a story about a widow woman. And in the Bible, there's nobody more needy than a widow woman. Maybe you find yourself in great need today. And this widow was going to an unjust judge. See, she had an issue, a legal issue. And he wouldn't give her the time of day. He didn't care about God, didn't care about her. But she kept banging on his door. And what Jesus was doing was using hyperbole by means of a story, because God is not like the unjust judge. God bends over. He's waiting for you to come. He longs to hear your voice. And if an unjust judge would finally answer a widow woman because she was persistent, what do you think God will do if you'll be persistent? But He needs to teach us this. Always pray, not give up. Hey, listen, have you quit praying? Really? You think about that. You know, this is the way the first Christians prayed. They were devoted to prayer. Whenever they got together, they prayed. In fact, before the church began, the Bible says in Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. I was telling our group, our technical group back there, we always get together, hold hands, pray. I said, man, I wish that would happen all through our church, every home group, every growth group, every that people would just huddle themselves together and constantly pray. Acts 2:42, the early church began. It began with thousands coming to Christ. And the Bible says they had a simple program. It was just four steps. They constantly devoted themselves to teaching of the Word of God, to fellowship, sharing and caring for each other, to the breaking of the bread, remembering Christ and His death, and then prayer. Constantly devoted themselves. It's something you got to do if you're a believer. This is a change that God wants to bring into your life. When you open your mouth, what comes out? Well, I'll tell you what comes out. We pray. Are you devoted to prayer? And when we continue in prayer, our own hearts become prepared for whatever answer God is going to give us. We also, something else here, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful, look at that. You know what we do? My friend, we not only develop persistence in communicating with God, we discern needs. And how do we do that? By staying attentive, being watchful. Gregorio, to stay awake, to be on the alert, to be spiritually ready. You know, it's so easy to fall asleep spiritually. And maybe you've been asleep spiritually. And the idea is vigilance here, a soldier standing guard. It's like Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Yes, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Oh man, isn't it? And so Christians ought to choose times when they can be awake and alert in order to pray. So many things rob us of time and prayer if we are not alert. We need to be proactive in this matter of prayer, church. Proactive, that means you're watching. You're alert. You're watching for the things that we ought to be praying for. I was hanging out with my grandson. We're kind of staying at their home, and their three grandchildren were taking care of. He's about 15. He's tied into video games. You know what I mean? So he's got his little pad up there, and he's got a little headset on there, and he's doing this shoot 'em up thing, you know, and he's tied in with guys around, I don't know. Anyway, and I'm sitting there watching him. I'm watching him how quickly he can change weapons and do all this stuff, but I'm watching how attentive he is to an enemy coming out from around to somebody crawling in the grass. I mean, the kid is absolutely good. No, I would never, ever think of taking him on in a video game. But how's a pastor learn a spiritual lesson from watching a grandchild play a shoot 'em up video game? His attentiveness was unbelievable. He had sharpened his skill to where he could see and respond. See and respond. What in the world has happened to us as a church? Where have we gone? Be watchful. Now look also, Paul says, and thankful. In other words, we need to learn to pray with power. So to do that, we delight in God's goodness in all things. As we pray, the word is Eucharistia, being thankful, but expressing gratitude, not just feeling it. No, you're saying it. When we pray, we're communicating with a Heavenly Father with whom we have a personal relationship through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and by the presence and power of His Spirit. Now, how many of you parents, man, you just love it when your child does nothing but say, gimme, 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 gimme? No? Now, a child that rarely ever says, Dad, Mom, I really appreciate the way you take care of me. You know what? When all we do is ask and never thank God for His gifts, we are selfish children, aren't we? Does God want the very best for you? Yeah. Does God have the wisdom to know what is best for us in light of His purposes? Yes. Does God have the power to do what is best for us? Yes. And so giving thanks is the language of faith. It is the key to prayer success. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Never pray without thanking God, because it puts faith in your prayers. It puts passion in your prayers. And honestly, there's always so much to be thankful for, isn't there? Here's a question. Does anybody remember where the Apostle Paul is when he pens this letter? Anybody? He's in jail. He did some of his best work in jail. You know, if we express thanks for what Paul did in this simple little letter that he wrote while he's in jail, you know what we would do? Turn back to chapter 1, verse 3. Notice how he begins. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. You know what we would do every time someone comes to faith? We would thank God. Look at verse 12 of chapter 1. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Every time there's a real meaning of life-changing salvation, and even as we remember and sing that song, we have to thank God. We have to thank God, chapter 2, verse 6, overflowing with thankfulness as you continue to grow in Christ, rooted and established and built up in Him. We thank God no matter what it takes to grow spiritually. By the way, have you learned that we really all grow spiritually more in the tough times of life, don't we? Look at chapter 3, verse 15. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. We would thank God for the peace that Christ gives. When's the last time you've done that? We would also thank God for the fellowship with His body, the church. That's what verse 15 says, members of one body, and be thankful. You know, this past week we had a significant memorial here. Man, it really touched my heart. Next day, that's all I could think about. And in fact, guy came to the service, first service this morning, came up to me and he said, I'm Jeremy. He said, I just had to come back to this church. God spoke to me. But you know what the mom and dad said to me? The mom and dad who were grieving over the loss of their son. They said, Pastor David, we love our church. We have no idea how people get along without a church. We love our church. Beloved, I'll tell you, unless you know that by experience, you'll never know it by experience. There is something about the body of Christ when they care for each other, pray for each other, and encourage and support each other. Wow. Chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Giving thanks for the opportunity of serving. Right, Eddie? Giving thanks for the opportunity of representing Jesus. And here in chapter 4, verse 2, being watchful and thankful for the honor of prayer to be able to go into the throne room of grace in the name of Christ and to go boldly, knowing that God will answer according to His purposes. Are you thankful? How often do you tell God? Probably not enough, huh? But notice what else we do as we learn this new communication. When we open our mouth, what comes out? First, we learn how to pray. We direct our requests on purpose to God. For Paul says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. So when we pray with understanding. We pray with a purpose. What is the purpose of prayer? Is it just to make me feel better? Is it to get our will done in heaven? Or is it to get God's will done on earth? You know what the Bible says? 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have the petitions that we've requested of Him. Oh, friend, this is so good right here. Paul is literally asking believers to pray for him. And I notice that even though he is stuck in jail, he still sees himself as a part of a ministry team. Notice verse 3. He didn't say, pray for me. No, he said, pray for us too. He asked prayer for the whole team because the mission is critical and the mission must succeed and we need prayer. You know, every missionary does. Every one of you need prayer. In your assigned place of ministry, wherever God has you. Sometimes we pray very generally, don't we? Lord, would you bless the whole church? Would you bless all the missionaries? I don't know that that's really all that bad, but it's the specific purpose and requests that we see here. Like, Lord, you know the Moffats over there in Ghana and Africa. They need a new vehicle, Lord. Would you enable your people to provide it? Tony and Holly Freitas have just come home from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and they have these. God, would you provide it? Could it be that it's our lack of faith that causes us not to ask for specific things? We give God an out by not asking for something specific. Hey, listen, true prayer comes first of all from our hearts, whether you verbalize the words or not. Remember Hannah, she was just praying in her heart inside here. But my friend, it's something we have to learn. If you're a Christian, this is a change Christ will bring into your life. Now, you could be just religious. If Christ isn't living his life in you, now I understand. But we learn how to pray and how to pray with power.